Open in your Bibles with me this morning, please, to the Gospel as recorded for us by Luke and to the 10th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 10, as we open God's Word together this morning. 10th chapter. I'm going to read verses 38 through 42 of the chapter, and you will find them very familiar. This is a story which probably many of you heard in Sunday school. And I love going back to those old, familiar stories of Scripture. For they're always fresh. They're always new. They never wear out. Luke chapter 10, and I'll start reading in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let us bow for prayer. O Father, now bless thy word to our hearts. May the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it came to pass as they went, Jesus was busy going about from village to village and place to place, that they entered into a certain village. This would be the village of Bethany. If you care to read in the middle of your bulletin, not at the moment, but later on, there is a good explanation of Bethany and some of the archaeological record of the excavation of this very site. In this village of Bethany lived Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, is not even mentioned in this account. We can assume that most likely Lazarus was present, but he was not involved in the account or in the discussion between these two sisters, and so he's not even mentioned in the account. This town of Bethany, and particularly the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, was a frequent stopping point place for Christ, for Jesus. It was a place where he would come and he would rest from his travels. Isn't that amazing? That the Son of God, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He couldn't go to his own home or to his own bed. But as he traveled and came to Bethany, about 15 furlong or approximately 2 miles from Jerusalem, there was always a welcome for him in Bethany at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. There he could stop. There he could rest. And there would be a meal prepared for him. Martha shows great respect for Jesus. He is in her home, an honored guest. And she is very diligent to make sure that when Jesus stops by her home, he is comfortable and he is well fed. Some believe that it's quite possible that Martha was a widow. She does not have a husband, and Mary does not have a husband. They're never mentioned. And if Martha is indeed a widow, excuse me, this is allergy season. My throat's tickling this morning. If Martha is indeed a widow, and Mary, the younger sister, is unmarried, it adds even more interest to the account of the raising of Lazarus, because two sisters without a husband would have relied very heavily on Lazarus, on their brother, as a provider. Remember the accounts of the kinsmen redeemers in Scripture, and it would appear that Lazarus was the one on whom these two unmarried women, one possibly a widow, would have relied. And so she has this sister Mary, which is first mentioned in our account in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Wow, we can close up our Bible right now. We've had a sermon, haven't we? Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard his word. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that amazing? Did that thrill you when you were a little child and you heard this story in Sunday school? I can't say it thrilled me. I didn't pay that much attention to it then. I heard the words, but I didn't take them to heart. But oh, as we grow into adulthood, and many of us into senior adulthood and maturity, how these words become fresh and alive to us all over again. She sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. What a great privilege we have here. Some would say, well, why did Mary sit and Martha serve? And it's not saying that Mary was the only one that sat. It says that Mary, which also sat. And so Martha and Mary both were ones who would sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his words. And we know from history and from the Bible that this was the oriental form of teaching. Remember that that Saul of Tarsus, Saul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. When a teacher would come, folks would sit down at his feet and they would hear his words. It would appear that as soon as Jesus came to this home in Bethany, he began teaching. Though I'm sure he was tired and probably hungry, he didn't really come there to sleep and eat. He was always about his Father's business. And so when Jesus comes to this house in Bethany, it appears that he immediately began teaching, and Mary immediately sat down to hear the message, and Martha immediately got busy. They didn't have a cell phone. He didn't call and say, I'm on the way. He just showed up at the door. And Martha immediately begins preparing this meal. It would also appear that this house church was the norm of the day. It is indeed true that Jesus would go into the temple and he would teach and preach there, and he would go into synagogues as he traveled about. But when he went into the temple, he did not have a friendly audience. No. The scribes and the Pharisees were not there to hear his teaching, as was Mary in particular, and Martha also. The scribes and the Pharisees' purpose was to find fault. They would ask questions, not to learn from him, but to try to trip him up in his words. And it's interesting that these sermons we have recorded from Christ and his dramatic teaching is generally on the mountainside, the feeding of 5,000. Or in a house when they tore up the roof and let down the man that was sick of the palsy. Or sitting in Peter's boat that was out a little from the shore. And you see, while the scribes and Pharisees and the chief priests would try to find fault, it was the common people that heard him gladly. It was the common people that received him. And remember, he's walking along and he looks up at a tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And he went in to the home of Zacchaeus. And so we find that Christ, yes, he did teach and preach in the synagogues and the temple, but it was in the homes. It was this interpersonal relationship with his disciples sitting at his feet. That is where he truly taught the gospel. But not only did Mary sit at his feet, she heard his words. She heard them. You see, when Christ was teaching in the synagogues and in the temples, everybody within earshot, unless they were deaf, they heard his words with these funny-looking things on the side of our heads. But when we talk about hearing the Word of God, we're not simply talking about hearing some sounds, but rather we're talking about that internal hearing of the Spirit of God that is brought about by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But Isaiah says, have they not heard? Yea, verily their sound went into all the world, and their words to the ends of the world. They heard the sounds and the words. But just like when the rooster crowed, when Peter had denied Christ, only Peter got the message. Everybody heard around and heard the rooster crow. Ah, but Peter went out and wept bitterly because he got the message. And so it is with the hearing of God's word. How many multitudes hear the sounds, but they do not receive the message. And when I was in Jamaica, I had a lot of interaction with the Rastafarians. And I was amazed at how much King James Scripture they can quote. Because they love the King James Bible. And they love the Psalms, and they read it, and they study it. And you would frequently find a group of Rastafarians sitting around with their Bibles open. But they were lost. Because though they had heard the sound of the words, they had not yet heard by the Spirit of God the truth of God. Mm-hmm. But here, when it says that Mary sat at his feet and heard his words, it's more than just hearing the sounds. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah for Mary!
Yeah.
She's saved.
Amen.
What about you? Hallelujah for your soul? Are you saved? Have you passed from death to life?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Word of God, not just as an antique book full of good stories, but do you know it as the Word of God?
Right.
Do you know it as the truth of heaven? Folks, this book is the owner's manual of eternity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
This book is the words of life. This is the truth. Have you heard it? Have you received it? My father used to tell about an old preacher that was a well-known street preacher. And he was out in the West, he was a cowboy, and he would put his Bible on the sidewalk and then sit his 10-gallon hat on top of his Bible. And he would walk around his hat yelling, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" and pointing at his hat. And before long, a big crowd would gather around him. He'd pick up his hat, put it on his head, pick up his Bible, and start preaching once he had a crowd. But indeed, it's alive. It's the truth. Have you heard it? Mary heard the Word of God. And what a contrast from those in the temple that sought to destroy him. And his disciples asked one time, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And the answer that Christ gave was, "Because to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given." How blessed! How blessed was this home of Mary and Martha, where Christ would come and they would sit at his feet and hear his word. But then we come to verse 40. And we find that on this particular day, when Christ has come to this home in Bethany, and Mary has immediately found her seat to hear the word, and Martha has immediately begun to prepare a meal. But Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered is an interesting word. This exact form of the word is only found one time in our New Testament, and it's here in this book of Luke in chapter 10. And essentially what this cumbered means is to pull a heavy load. Think about an ox that's straining with the cart. The ox is cumbered with the load. And here Martha, she's pulling a heavy load. She is working as hard as she can. She's probably a bit frantic. I see some of the ladies smiling. You know what it is for someone to come unexpectedly and you don't have any cookies in the cabinet and you start rushing around. What can I put together? How can I be a hospitable host? And many other things just suddenly fly out of your mind. You know, you get very task oriented. And we're not faulting Martha here. Remember who she was doing this for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was trying to do the very best she could for Jesus. She wanted to make sure he was well cared. We don't condemn her, we commend her. She was trying to do her best for Jesus. But she was cumbered about with much serving. She was distracted by the load. She was distracted by the material rather than being attracted by the spiritual. And oh, how easy it is for every one of us to fall into that same trap. We can become so involved with all the many things that we're trying to do for Jesus that we don't even hear his word. That we don't get the message. Faith cometh by doing many things. No, not at all. Faith cometh by hearing. And what do we need when we're pulling a heavy load? We need more faith. We need to trust the Lord more. We need to rely on him more and more. And so she was serving. She was doing her best for her master. She's cumbered about with many things. In Proverbs 31:27, where we read of the virtuous woman, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. I think we could apply that verse to Martha. And so she comes to Jesus. Well, think about that. She comes to Jesus. It doesn't tell us what his message was, does it? The passage does not record what Jesus was teaching. I'm sure it was important. And I doubt he wanted it to be interrupted. Do you ever think about that? She interrupted the message. She interrupted the lesson. And I assure you that was not what she was intending to do. She was not thinking, I'm going to put an end to this teaching so we can get something done here. No. But she's so tied up with what she's trying to do that she's not paying attention to what Jesus is trying to do. You see, Jesus is teaching people, and I would doubt that it was just Mary. Probably the neighbors heard, hey, Jesus is over at Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Let's go hear what he has to say. There was probably a goodly number sitting at his feet, and he's teaching them eternal truth. But Martha is so tied up with what she's trying to do for him that she interrupts the message. Ah, how insidious our failures can be. How quickly our good intentions can end up making a mess of things. She comes to Jesus and she interrupts the message. You know, this wasn't the first time that Jesus' message was interrupted. Do you remember when Jesus was just 12 years old? And he was sitting in the temple and he was teaching the elders and he was questioning them. And he's been doing this for 3 days now. And it must have been a pretty lively question and answer session, because here are these elders that are astonished that this 12-year-old boy can answer their questions so well and even ask them very thoughtful questions. And you don't get bored with a good conversation. And it's been going for 3 days, so obviously there is spiritual benefit that is taking place. And his mother and father, Mary and Joseph, come in and they interrupted the message. And I'm sure that wasn't their intent. They wanted to find Jesus because they were concerned about him. What's he been eating for the last 3 days? But his answer was, "What? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" There is a greater purpose involved here. But being the sinless Son of God, as a 12-year-old boy, it says he went with them and he submitted to their authority. But here, he's not a 12-year-old boy anymore. And Martha comes and she interrupts the lesson. "Lord, dost thou not care?" Lord, don't you care that I am working so hard and my sister is being lazy? Don't you care that I'm so busy getting together this meal? Look at her. Look what she's doing. She's not even lifting a finger to help me. Lord, don't you care? Do you think Jesus didn't know that Martha was in the kitchen? He knew what was happening. He knew all the dynamics in the home. He was aware of what was taking place. But how often, when we are so busy about that which we have busied ourselves with, that we begin to impugn God? Lord, don't you care? Remember Job? In all of his trials, it says, "Yet in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." With all of her good intentions, that's what Martha is doing. She's charging Jesus with not caring. "You don't care about me. You care about Mary. You care about me. Carest thou not that we perish?" Remember the disciples in the boat? "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" "Well, I have been very bold for the Lord, and they've killed the prophets, and they've slain this and that." "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" "Take away my life. I'm no better than my father's." Lord doesn't care. The one whose eye is on the sparrow, the one who knows the number of the hairs of my head, does he not care? Dost thou not care? Remember Moses? When Moses said, "Lord..." Let me read the verse to you. It's in Exodus 5, 22 and 23. "And Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, wherefore hast thou so evilly entreated this people? Why hast thou sent me unto them? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil unto this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.'" Moses said to God, "Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. God, you said you were going to send me to Egypt to deliver your people, and you haven't done a thing. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." I remember one time, Brother Vince mentioned in Sunday school that sometimes we look back at things we taught one time and we're kind of ashamed of it. So, "Well, Lord, thank you for teaching me better than that I remember when I came across this verse after being in Jamaica for 2 or 3 years, and that phrase, "Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all," just really struck me. Lord, I don't see it yet. Where is it? You sent me here, and you haven't delivered this people at all. But God had a great deliverance coming. And God was yet to harden Pharaoh's heart, to condemn the wicked with an overthrow, is the way Scripture mentions it. Don't you care? Don't you care that I am busy serving and Mary is busy sitting? Oh, that we'd be more like Job and sin not with our mouth. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve?" She's left me all alone. She's forsaken me. It's not me that needs the message. It's her that needs the message. I'm not the one that needs the change. She's the one that needs the change. I am serving the Lord. She is just sitting. Oh, how often we begin to behold the mote in our brother's eye without seeing the beam that's sticking out of our own. Jesus, don't you care? Look at what my sister's doing. All she's doing is sitting. And I am busy preparing a meal. I am busy about the Lord's business. I'm doing what I should do, but she's not doing what she should do. You know the old saying, when you point your finger, you've got three more pointing back at you. And so, Martha is so concerned that she is busy about the Lord's business and all Mary's doing is sitting. And so she says, "Tell my sister to get up and help me. Command her. Command her. Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Command her to stop listening to you and help me. You see how irrational and unreasonable we can become when we begin to get centered on ourselves and our own concerns rather than simply listening to Christ. Rather than simply hearing the Word of God. Rather than simply following the message that He's teaching. This can't be fair. I'm doing all the work. She isn't doing anything. Remember when Peter asked Christ about John? In John 21, verse 20 and through 22, "Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed me?" That was John he's talking about. "Peter, seeing him, said, Lord, what shall this man do?" Lord, what's John going to do for you? What's he going to do? Remember what Christ answered? Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Peter, what difference does it make to you what John is going to do? This is what you need to do, Peter. Follow me. Martha, what difference does it make to you what Mary is doing? Why are you so concerned about Mary? You need to be concerned about yourself. Oh, how much better the body of Christ would be if we'd stop looking at others and blaming them for everything and start looking at ourselves. Command her to help me. Lord, she's the problem. Not me. I'm not the problem. She is the problem. Verse 41. And Jesus said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Don't you love that double use for name. Martha. Martha. Simon. Simon. Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Saul. Saul. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, that double use of the name is not a condemnation. It is so gentle and so tender. If it had been me, I would have said, Martha, you just interrupted the message. Martha! Shh! No. Martha. Martha, you're cumbered about. You're concerned and troubled and careful. You're full of care about so many things. Do you remember another one? Absalom, my son. Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. David, when he used the double of Absalom's name, he was not condemning his son, even though his son was in rebellion against him and was leading the kingdom in rebellion against him. But David loved Absalom. And that is what we find here. Martha. Martha. You are careful about many things. You're troubled about many things. Martha, Martha. You're full of care. That word full of care is a fairly common word in Scripture, but it's a beautiful word. It's not often translated care as it is here in Luke chapter 10. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to kind of emphasize when we come to this same word care. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That word thought there is the same word as careful that we find here in Luke 10. Take no thought, take no care for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither for your body what you shall put on. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought, it's that same concept of carefulness, can add to your stature one cubit. Verse 8, why take ye thought for raiment? It's that same careful again. Verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying what shall eat. Same word. And then verse 34 of Matthew 6, we find it three times in one verse. Take, the first word of the verse, is actually the same word, careful. It's a doubling in the Greek. Take, therefore, no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you're careful for many things. You're taking thought about all these things. Martha. Martha. Martha is so full of care and full of thoughts that she cannot see the spiritual value of simply sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his words. One of my favorite commentators I mention from time to time is Adam Clark, the old Methodist commentator. He's not what we call a expository commentator. He's a devotional commentator. But he referenced the parable of the sower in this context. And it's different wording there. But remember the parable of the sower where some fell among thorns and it sprang up, but the cares of this life choked out the seed. And as I say, it's not a direct parallel there. But what Christ essentially is saying is, Martha, all these cares and all these concerns that you're carrying about, this heavy weight that you're pulling, is blinding you to the privilege of sitting at my feet and hearing my words. Oh, how easy it is for us to get so busy being Christians. To get so busy serving the Lord that we just kind of turn off our spiritual ears and we don't hear the word anymore.
Lord help.
Martha You are careful about many things, but one thing is needful.
Not the many.
One thing is needful. I love that parallelism there. Verse 41, many things. Verse 42, one thing is needful. It's interesting, the context here, because this word, the way it's structured, one thing is needful, may well be, there's multiple applications, but actually from the language, it appears that maybe Martha was making cornbread, chicken, fish, beef, a salad, casserole, pot of beans, lamb. I mean, she is putting on the Ritz. She is spreading a banquet. And Jesus said, Martha, one's enough. I don't need a fancy feast. We're not going to Golden Corral. One thing's needful. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In our call to worship this morning, Job said, I desire thy word more than my necessary food. One thing is needful. One's enough. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the best part. And again, that term, the best part there, Mary has chosen the good part. Again, is in the original language, an oriental reference to when an honored guest comes, you don't give him the chicken neck. You give him the best part. You give them the prized part. You don't give them the scrawny piece of meat. You give them the best part. Martha, what you're doing is good. You're trying to prepare a meal. And Martha, what you're doing can be commended. You're trying to serve the Lord. But Martha, you've gotten so busy trying to serve the Lord that you've missed the one thing that's needful. And that's the best part of the whole feast. The hearing of the word of God. John 6, labor not for meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Which shall not be taken away from her. Was Martha preparing the last meal that they would ever eat? No. Remember what Christ said to the woman at the well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be within him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Martha, it doesn't matter how good your meal is. It doesn't matter how caramelized the top of your sweet potatoes are. I'm offering you something eternal. Mm-hmm. Mary has chosen the good part. She's chosen that which will last forever. For the word of God remaineth and abideth forever. Now, I deliberately chose Psalm 27 for our responsive reading this morning. I'd like you to turn over there with me as we make application and close our message this morning. And I would direct your attention to the fourth verse of Psalm 27 and relate that back. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that that one thing, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire at his temple. I think that verse sums up what Christ is saying to Martha. Martha, you're busy about all these things and you've missed the one thing. And oh, how we can be busy about all these things and all the cares of life. And what are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do next week? And how are we going to provide for this? And how are we going to fix that? And this is broken too. And Lord, I want to serve you. And Lord, the church needs this. And the church needs that. And Lord, I need to call this person. I need to visit this person. And Lord, I've got a sermon to repair. And all these things that begin to swirl around our head like a swarm of hornets.
Yep.
Joe, you're cumbered about with many things. You're careful about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part that will not be taken away from her. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Not promotion. Not fame and fortune. Not a retirement plan. Not a better job. Not a better education. Not a better house. Not a better car. Not a better whatever. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's where my effort's going to go. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That's not talking about heaven someday. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's talking about here and now. That's talking about sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His words. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. What difference does it make how ugly this world gets?
Amen.
While we behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you, my friend, sat at the feet of Jesus and heard His word? Are you sitting at His feet today? Or are you so busy with the cares of this life that you're no longer even hearing the message?
Mm-hmm.
Let us stand for prayer.
Mm-hmm.